I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 639. This is Paris, and again this week I'm joined by Pete.
What up?
Danny is not going to be on this episode. He's taking care of some personal business, but he should be back for our next episode. So, Danny, take care of your business, and we'll try not to screw this up while you're away. I want to remind everyone, you can find us over at gamertagradio.com, and you can find us over at play.it. And Danny, let everybody know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. It's been an interesting day in the world of video games. Mm-hmm. I know we've been getting a lot of voicemail and email about this topic, but Xbox, they just drew the line in the sand, and it was like that old Cosby Show episode with the tap dancer. He was like, da-da-da-da-da, challenge.
Yep.
And now we got Xbox Netflix. What do we call it? What is this thing called?
I think it's Game Pass? I think it's the name.
Game Pass. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, but $10 a month, $9.99 a month. Going to be around 100 games that are being supported, and games are going to be rotated in and out during it. It's very similar, obviously, to EA Access. And I think the big thing is these games can be downloaded and you put on your hard drive versus what PlayStation is offering with PlayStation Now doing the game streaming. So, I mean, we all read the press release this morning. What do you think about it?
I think it's a smart move from Microsoft. It gives them an alternative offering. I know a lot of people are trying to say, well, Sony's already got PlayStation Now. How is this any different? From what I've been able to read up on, you know, between, you know, all of the major media sites and stuff like that, the main difference is you don't own, you're essentially renting when you get it through PlayStation Now versus on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass library. You get to download it and keep for life.
I didn't think that's true. I don't think that part's true. I don't think you own it for life. It's not like Games for Gold where you get the game and then you keep it. Because think about it. For $10, I'll jump in there for a month. I'll download every damn thing they got. I own it. And then I'll cancel. So yeah, I don't think that part is true. I think
I'm reading here. So I'm going to read this directly off Kotaku's website. The Game Pass is not a streaming service like PlayStation Now, but a game download subscription along the lines of EA Access. Subscribers who pay the $9.99 monthly fee will be able to choose from titles, downloading them directly to their system and playing them as if they were purchased digitally. Subscribers will be able to purchase the games in the catalog. Oh, okay. So there it is.
Yeah.
Subscribers will be able to purchase the games in the catalog at a discounted 20% off games, 10% off add-ons, to add them permanently to their Xbox library.
That makes sense. So what they're basically saying is as long as you keep the subscription going, then the games that you have, I mean, you can play them as long as you want, however you want. But if you decide to cancel and there's a particular game you want to keep, they'll allow you the option to buy it at a discount.
Yes.
I can't complain about any of that. I saw that this morning and I got excited about it. I was like, this, like, I damn near was like, do I need an Xbox? That's how much I like this. I'm like, do I need to go get one? Because it's great that they're going to be supporting the back catalog this way, along with 360 titles and obviously Xbox One titles, you know, as they start to age. Because, I mean, you even saw front and center, like, in the promo, they had, like, Halo 5 there. And you saw Gears of War. And I know Banjo-Kazooie and Cameo and things like that are supported in this venture that they're doing. And it's smart. It's taking video games, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, getting that Netflix style subscription service. Sure, you're not going to have the latest and greatest games there, but like we said, you're going to have that back catalog of games. So if there's a game that you missed a few years ago, but everyone was raving about, saying, oh man, this game is so awesome. And it shows up in this new subscription service. All right, you can go download it, check it out. And if it's for you, you can play it to your heart's content. And the way I look at it is, as it's $120 a year investment, right? That's two games. You're investing two games. So two games that you normally would have just bought anyways, you're investing into this subscription service. And now you're getting access to 100 plus games. And, you know, and the more third party starts to get on board, and obviously as Microsoft's own internal studios back catalog builds up, just more games are going to be there. I think it's genius, personally. I really applaud it. And I think the next step for them would be to integrate it EA Access style, and anyone who subscribes to this starts getting early access to new games. So, like, let's say Halo 6 comes out. You get to play Halo 6 5 days early than anyone that isn't a part of the subscription service. Things like that. Throwing those kind of incentives out would just be perfect for this. I'm really digging it.
Here's the money question. Here's the big question. Does Paris participate? Do you drop the $10 a month to get access to these games, which won't be available on your PC, only available on your Xbox?
I'd have to have an Xbox. If I had an Xbox, I'd do it. I don't have an Xbox, though.
So and you're not going
to
do it.
I'm not necessarily ready to run out and go get an Xbox when I participate. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see going into this holiday. We'll see what Project Scorpio and everything that they're doing with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I never say never. Like I said, I absolutely applaud the move. I think it's smart. Like, trust me, I've been highly considering subscribing to EA Access on Origin. I've been thinking about doing that. Hey, why not? Right. You know, I think it's worth it.
I'm going to say that. Me personally, I don't see me doing this. And for those that are asking, does this affect Games for Gold? It does not. Those are two totally different offerings. And Microsoft's already updated any, you know, and they've spoken with the media. So if people who are asking questions, they've reiterated. They're two totally different offerings. So you still get your Games for Gold. You still get your 2 to 4 games for free that you could download on the house and keep forever. This is just an alternative to give more people an incentive to go over to the Microsoft side. I think it's a good opportunity for them. It's going to be interesting to see if this is enough to start swaying people to come over. Because I know one of the bigger complaints has been that PlayStation Now is not the ideal solution. It's good, but it's not ideal. And I think... I just don't know if this is enough for people to, I don't know if this is like a deal sealer, right? Like something that would sway the decision to say, oh, if that's the case, then I'm going to Microsoft. And at the end of the day, it's still a $10 a month extra offering on top of Xbox Live. You're still paying, what is it? 60 plus 120. That's $180 a year investment to get access to this.
Yeah, I'm not viewing this as something that's going to sway someone that already wasn't interested in Xbox. I do feel like this is definitely more catered towards the casual Xbox owner, you know, who may not have a lot of games in their library, but right. This now gives them a chance again, like you said, to spend $120 a year, and now you have access to over 100 games. I think for the hardcore crowd, this is just the icing on the cake, so to speak. You know, for maybe some of those games that you don't have old 360 discs laying around, you know, now you might have the opportunity to pick those up. You know, like think about it. I'm pretty sure all the old Halo games are going to be in this, for example, right? So now you have a chance to get that, all the old Gears games. Like I had mentioned before, an old game like Cameo, Perfect Dark Zero is probably going to be in there. Just things like that, you know, that you can kind of go back in nostalgia play again. So I'm all for it. I think it's good. I think this
is some of the titles that you just mentioned on there, just to counter, are available in the Rare Replay. So for $30, you can go out and just get that, and you don't have to worry about it, and you get to keep the game.
Look, man, I don't own an Xbox. I'm trying to just be positive here.
Hey, point, counterpoint, you know, it's the purpose of discussion. It's what we're doing here, right?
By the way, I have to side note for a second. Normally when we record Gamertag Radio, we do it, we record our voices locally and we edit it together. Danny does the editing, but we actually communicate over Skype. And we're noticing, Pete and I, right before we are going to record, this obnoxious static in Skype. So we decided, let's go try Discord. Man, Discord is clean. It's like Pete is just sitting right next to me right now. That's how good the voice quality is right now. This is so much better than Skype. I can't believe how much better the audio quality is. So just shout out to Discord. And we have the GTR Discord channel. I literally on Twitter put a link out to it so anyone can join up. And if, because we even got emails about it earlier today. So, you know, search my Twitter account, SVicious696. You'll find the link or hit us up directly if you want access to it. But I'm surprised just in this last 20 minutes as we've been on this podcast, we've had a bunch of people join. So definitely join up. It should be a lot of fun. It's definitely another way for us all to interact and communicate and game together.
Agreed. This message was not brought to you by Discord.
It could be one day. Y'all want to sponsor us? No, but I just had to make that note because, I mean, the audio quality is just so much better. Yeah, I can't believe how much better it is right now. Absolutely. Yeah. But anything else on this Xbox thing
I think it's good. Hopefully we'll hear. Do we have it? When does it launch? Do we know?
Well, it's actually available right now. Ooh. Preview members are able to get it. Because I saw some stuff on NeoGAF where some people were already kind of given a list of the limited amount of games that are available in that. I know what Phil Spencer has said, that, you know, they wanted to test it in preview and everything before officially rolling it out. I got a feeling this will probably be a dropper at E3. Kind of lines up saying that it's a few months away. You know, if it's a few months away, you might as well just wait till June and then they can talk about it on stage.
Right.
And make it, you know, like a big selling point when Scorpio and all that comes out. Speaking of Scorpio, we now know our first official game that's going to be on Project Scorpio. You want to talk about that?
Let's talk about it.
It's the Lord of the Rings game.
Oh.
You're like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I thought you had other information.
No, but I keep screwing up the name on the sequel. It's the Shadow of, what is it?
Shadow of War.
But yes. Yeah, because they announced the other day that it is going to be an Xbox Play Anywhere game. So it'll be on Xbox One, it'll be on Windows 10, and it will be on Project Scorpio. So as far as I know, that is the first official game mentioned to be a part of Project Scorpio and is a sequel to a fantastic game. So, I mean, this is going to be highly anticipated when it comes out. I think they said, was it September? They said this was coming out?
August, I believe.
August. And then obviously when Project Scorpio launches, there'll be a copy available then. So this asks this question. So if you pick up the Xbox One version, then I'm talking disc, because obviously if you get a digital, it'll transfer right over. But if you get the Xbox One physical disc, will that play on Project Scorpio and in its glorious 4K and all that stuff? It should, right?
I would hope so. It's... part of me is kind of hesitant because of the last game from Warner Brothers to come out. And we saw a lot of successes on the console side, but not as much on the PC side. And
oof, don't remind me.
I know. And you especially got bit by that one. So as beautiful as it looks, and yes, it's a trailer on YouTube. So it's going to look as beautiful as humanly possible when streamed on a 4K, you know, compressed stream on YouTube. But it looks great. I really want to play it. I'm afraid, because Warner Brothers is behind it, that we're going to see the level of discontent that many a gamer, yourself included, Paris, felt on that launch. Now, will that sway your decision?
No, I mean, it won't, because I feel like that was, you know, when we're talking about Arkham Knight, that was just one of those things where Warner Brothers got caught with their pants down, and they had another team doing all the optimization for the PC version, and they just completely dropped the ball. I mean, they just butchered that thing. I've never seen a game that poorly optimized on the PC of this level, is what I'm trying to say. A AAA level game like Batman Arkham Knight be that bad on PC to the point it just completely pulled me out of the experience. And the game has been fixed at this point. I have no desire to even go back anymore and play.
I was just about to ask if you'd gone back after the fact.
No. My son was playing it, and I was watching him play it, and I was like, this looks kind of fun. I go, I can't be bothered though. And I just moved on. I was like, I'm done. So no, I mean, I don't worry so much about the Xbox Play Anywhere version or just the straight up Steam PC version of it not being optimized. I think if anything, Warner Brothers will be oversensitive to this and will make sure, if anything, that the PC version is definitely optimized, because they don't want to lose their customers. Whereas, like you're saying, we're just bitter about it. And you're like, man, I'm not picking that up because they don't know how to optimize on PC anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think they got one more strike. If they do drop the ball on this one, then yeah, Warner Brothers is going to be tarred and feathered for this for sure.
So for those that are wondering, the PC specs have come out for Middle Earth Shadow of War. Minimum requirements are i5 2550, GeForce GTX 670, or a Radeon 7950 if you got it, and 8 gigs of RAM. Recommended i7, 16 gigs of RAM, and a 970 or GTX 1060, or the Radeon R9 290X or Radeon RX 480. It's a 60 gig download. Question more for the people that are, you know, on the PC side. So I have the 1080, you have the 1080. I know you have an i7, but I have an i5. Is that really going to make that much of a difference for our listeners, or for those who decided to skimp on the processor side, but decided to go and throw the wallet at the GPU?
These days, it's more about the GPU than it is the CPU. I mean, we have seen some games in the past, like Assassin's Creed Unity is one that sticks out in my head that was very CPU dependent. But I notice a lot of modern engines these days are getting away from that. And it, like you said, it's all about the GPU. I mean, you need a high-end GPU to really push these games. So at a minimum, as long as you have an i5, a modern i5, I think you're fine on the CPU side. I don't think that's going to be a real issue for most people. You know, I like to be safe than sorry, so that's why I have an i7. But yeah, i5 should be fine. I mean, if you have to invest more in one thing, I'm going to invest more in the GPU than I am the CPU for sure.
Okay. Just something I was thinking about over the last couple of days. I know you and I were on a private chat earlier. We were talking about, you know, I was considering whether I wanted to even upgrade my motherboard and things like that. So it's just that. And see, these are the exact same reasons why, like, the Dannys of the world don't want to go PC, because of the constant, oh, I want to upgrade this, I want to upgrade that. And then it's just, that's, I guess, the beauty of an offering like, whether it be the PlayStation 4 or Scorpio, where it's all in one, it comes in a box, you just turn it on and go. It's you know, it's ready to go.
Agreed. Yeah. But, you know, Danny, I was thinking to our previous conversation before we start recording about Discord and getting Danny on here. That's never happening. It's just keep moving. But moving on from that, just since we're in this whole talk about PC gaming, 4K and all that, I saw on IGN today, they had one of their IGN firsts. Mm-hmm. They had a 17-minute gameplay video of Mass Effect Andromeda. I almost want to cancel my pre-order.
See, so this is the part I don't understand about you, Paris. If it's the MCU, if we're talking Marvel movies, you will abstain from YouTube and every other video streaming service on the planet. But it's Mass Effect, and you throw your rules right out the window, and I'm gonna watch all 17 minutes of this, I'm gonna rewind it, watch it again, and now you've all of a sudden you've jumped off the Mass Effect bandwagon, and what's going on? Talk to me, Goose.
I didn't like what I saw, Maverick. It didn't look good. I think you hit the eject button and I smashed my head at the top of the cockpit.
Rest in peace, Goose.
I know, man. No, dude, just dead serious. I watched all 17 minutes, and I was not impressed. Mm. And you know what I was not impressed with, which has been my fear since the initial gameplay footages and just sneak peeks had come out. Dude, the dialogue is so bad. It's so bad. It's not good. Like, it's almost cringeworthy to me. Just the chatter between your squad mates. That's really going to take me out of the game. I already know it. The facial animations are still bad. They're just bad. They're just poor. I don't know how else to put it. The shooting mechanics, all that, the cover system, all that look fine. That's fine. That's not going to be an issue. But I just have this bad feeling about the story that I'm just not going to be engaged with it. And I'm not going to have that connection to Andromeda that I had to the previous trilogy with Mass Effect. If this is the case, if this is the direction that they're going, look, I'm being grumpy grandpa. I get it. I'm not really canceling my pre-order. I'm getting the damn thing March 21st, but I'm not liking what I'm seeing right now. I'm just not. And that's just being bluntly honest. I don't know any other way to say it.
So are you saying, I haven't seen the video, and I'll watch it after the show, and hopefully we could talk about this further on Twitter and maybe engage some of our listeners and stuff like that. But I don't know if I was 100% sold by the facial animations and the talking. I mean, I'll say the dialogue and the scripting was great, and maybe that's what's causing, again, I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it, but like Seth Green's character Joker in Mass Effect 3, you know, that it helped in the game, but I don't know if it was enough to say, you know, amazing voice acting in a game. Let's give an award to someone like Seth Green or something like that. Would you say it's about the same as in 3, or do you think it's gone off the rails?
I think it's gone off the rail. Ooh. I do. I think it's gone off the rail. I'm just not liking it. And I know I'm probably going to get all these angry tweets and emails going, God, Parrish, you're so freaking negative. Look, I don't want to be negative. And you know what it is? Because I want Mass Effect to be epic. Right. I want it to be so good, yes, that I'm being extra critical of it. I get it. But I'm just saying, for anyone that's listening to this, go to IGN, watch that 17-minute video. And I watched it in 4K, too. It looks almost cursed. It looks beautiful.
Yep, this isn't the stream. You can't curse.
Yeah, I curse on the stream. I can't curse on the podcast. But it looks great. It really does. It is beautiful in 4K. Don't get me wrong. The weapons, the shooting mechanics, all that looks phenomenal. But the story looks cheesy as you know what. Mm-hmm. And that is what has me worried. So hopefully I am 100% wrong. I hope I'm wrong. That's, I want to be.
Very disappointing.
Yep. So we'll see. But speaking of 4K and beautiful, I haven't played it yet. I just literally booted it up, got the updates in, and just went through the opening intro thing. Horizon Zero Dawn in 4K HDR is, whoo, oh my goodness. That is one of the best looking games I think I've ever seen in my life. I'm serious. Playing it on PlayStation 4 Pro, just that opening scene, just the lighting effects, the environment, just everything that was going on. I ain't even played the damn thing yet. This is just me watching the cutscenes and the opening title thing. I was like, man, this is beautiful.
So
I can't wait to play. I can't wait to start playing.
I watched maybe an hour of gameplay today on Twitch, watching Lyric play it. Oddly reminiscent, if not, and I think this is what I called it in our Google chat. It looks like a very good Far Cry mod.
And that's what people have been saying. It's definitely Far Cry. Yeah.
That is not a bad thing, because Far Cry is a great series. And you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed 3 and 4. But I've done a lot of that, and the part that gets me to stop playing those type of games is I stop doing the main quests. And I kind of got burnt out on this on Witcher as well, where I go from doing going from main quest to all of a sudden I'm collecting 45 different roots and berries. And next thing you know, it's more inventory management. I got to start doing all of that. And, you know, again, I'm just going off of what I've seen on the live stream. I will pick this game up because I do want to have a reason to keep turning on my my PlayStation, because I haven't done it since you know, you and I beat the raid back in September. And I did say I was going to get this game. I just don't know if I'm going to get it immediately, but I don't know. It's the story so far from what I've seen is really, really good and a lot of fun. It's very well acted. Really, really pulls you in with Aloy's character. The Far Cry 3-ness of it is giving me pause, because I was hoping it was going to be something more.
I see what you're saying. I think I'm not so concerned by that, because I heard that during a lot of the preview stuff, and then just seeing a lot of the reviews, most people were saying that Guerrilla Games out Far Cried Far Cry with this game. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, in other words, they took that formula and they borrowed from some other genres as well and improved on it and made this amazing game. So, you know, I'm all for it. Trust me, tonight I'm going to do it on Twitch, and I'm just going to jump in and go, you know, and we'll see. Next episode, I'll definitely have some impressions on the game and I can give you my opinion. But I'm not too concerned by that, just to be bluntly honest with you.
Okay. All right.
But let's do this before we continue. Let's take a break right now and let's get a word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and we'll start wrapping up the show.
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. In fact, you know, I saw you posting some delicious looking food just last week that you had made for the family. They say that cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often than others. And on top of that, those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Some of the new recipes coming out in the coming weeks include salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork chops miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple and vegetable chili, baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips. One of the cool things that I like about Blue Apron is that they never have a repeating menu. So it's very rare that you're going to come across the same menu. Actually, I think it's like once a year is the only time you can get these things. So it really gives you that diversity of food. So for those of you that are listening and you're interested in checking out Blue Apron, go to blueapron.com/gamertag. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with shipping for free. All you got to do is go to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back, and before we get out of here, we got a lot of voicemails and emails, but we kind of want to wait on Danny to come back next week, so we're not going to read them on this episode. But again, we appreciate all you guys that are sending us your emails, your voicemails, hitting us up on Twitter and everything. And Pete, I don't know about you, but we've talked about this before, but just these last few weeks of us doing Facebook Live, and now we're kind of jumping into Twitch and doing the streaming on there, and, you know, just interacting with people on social media. I feel even more connected with our community, and in a weird way, I feel like our community is growing, because we're definitely starting to hear from a lot of new people. We're seeing more people saying, hey, I found you on Spotify and things like that. And we're getting different opinions on things, and it's great. But what do you think about all this?
Honestly, it's actually given me a reason to get back into games. This past Friday, I think we mentioned it on Sunday when we recorded. Jumped on Friday night to do some Wildlands beta gameplay, thinking I was going to jump in and play with you. You had other plans and you were doing things. And so I just jumped in, and next thing you know, I'm on Discord with 3 people I've never spoken to. Apparently, you know, mm-hmm. these people from playing with them in the past. You know, but they're, you know, on the GTR Discord, you know, people who have listened to the show. I've never even heard or spoken to any of these people. I don't even know if I've ever spoken to them on Twitter. or any other social media. And we were there for 4+ hours. Like, I literally went to bed at almost 2 a.m. and I had started this around 9-10 o'clock at night, you know, and I hadn't done a gameplay session like that in a very long time with people that I didn't know. Cause typically I jump on, if I'm going to play with people, I'll jump onto Xbox or Xbox Live and I'll play with, you know, X number of people, because those are the people I play with multiplayer or whatever. And if I'm going to do a single player, I'd jump on PC or I'll jump on a local machine, you know, I'll jump on a local game or whatever. But it gave me a reason to jump back in. And then, you know, earlier today, just, you know, before we recorded, you know, I did about 20, 30 minutes of Overwatch, just testing, you know, some different settings on Twitch. More and more reason to keep jumping back into the game and having fun. Now we've got games, like you said, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn. We've got Ghost Recon Wildlands coming out. We got Mass Effect coming out. We got, you know, Nintendo Switch. I don't know how we're going to do this. You know, is there a way for us to Twitch stream what's going to be on Switch? Like Switch, Twitch, Twitch, Switch?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can hook up a capture card. Yeah, matter of fact, I know you can, because if you put the Switch into TV mode, it has HDMI. So, yeah, you just hook it up to a capture card and you'll be able to do Twitch streams for Switch stuff. That's too many. It's just,
yeah,
it's
just Twitch, Switch. Yeah. Switch, Twitch. But yeah, it's, I think us, like you said, starting off with the Facebook Live, getting that low and slow, you know, integration into a deeper interaction with our community. And, you know, like Danny is always pushing, you know, community, getting to know the people that are listening to your show in somehow, some way. And I think doing it that way, it almost feels organic, where we're going slow and then slowly ramping ourselves up into, you know, Twitch streaming. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know if it's going to replace my 9-to-5 day job. I don't know if I could pay my mortgage off, you know, off of YouTube and stuff like that, or off of Twitch subscriptions. I wouldn't say no if we could eventually do that. But I like it. I like the fact that it's brought us back to almost like a 2008, 2009 type scenario, where we're starting to talk not so much with other people from the gaming blogosphere or stuff like that, but we're talking to people either new in the community that are listening to the show, or we're talking about different things, or, you know, talking to them now on social media. It's bringing that whole community concept back, which has been sorely missed, honestly, in gaming. So that's my thoughts.
No, you're nailing it. I mean, everything that you said is absolutely spot on with that. Just one of the things that I've noticed over this past few days, because obviously, you know, I've shown this big interest in trying to start up a Twitch channel and, you know, getting some kind of regular schedule going with it. Again, just so we can kind of interact more with people and, you know, we start playing games with community and things like that. And literally right before we started recording, I had two people reach out to me. What do you need? What can I help you with? I want to help you. I want to get this. And it's amazing. And I've had other people over the past few days just reaching out. I've had a couple companies reach out to me saying, hey, you started Twitch channel, what can we do to help you, kind of thing. And it's like, whoa, really? Really? It's like, that is like, you know, I know we do this podcast and we've met so many great people over the years and everything, you know, at events and just online and all of that. But it's moments like this that let you know that people do follow you and they do care. You know what I mean? And it, like you said, it, if anything, it motivates me even more to want to do this stuff and interact with the people that are in our audience, because this is how I look at it. Sure, we have our podcast audience and we love them and they're loyal and we're always going to be doing this podcast and this is never going to change. But how many more people can we reach by doing Facebook Live, doing a Twitch stream, you know, doing video interviews, etc.? We're just growing our audience. Like I said, this damn Discord channel, we're recording right now and I keep hearing because it's people joining up and communicating. And that was one of our community members that just decided, hey, I'll create a Discord channel for you. You guys want to join up? You and I joined up. And, you know, like you said, you were gaming with those guys on Ghost Recon. And now we're like building this Discord community. You know, so now we can play games and communicate with each other no matter what we're doing. Hell, we're recording this freaking podcast because of that. You know, just things like that, man. And that's what gets me excited about the future of what we're trying to do mm-hmm. and where it could lead us. I mean, it really just comes down to our time commitment and just again, having the time to do it. As long as we have the time to do it, I think our commitment is going to be there.
Yep.
You know, and that's what excites me.
The other great thing about something like Discord is the fact that it's not as convoluted. It's really simple. And when you're in a group, you can see what everybody's playing. So if you want to just join up, you can send them a quick message. Say, hey, look, I saw you playing this. Mind if I join you? And it's almost like that digital handshake introduction without really needing it. So if you're kind of on the shy side, which a lot of people are, you know, they don't want to just like butt in and jump in and, hey, you know, whatever. That's the cool thing that I like about Discord. I'm a member of, you know, a handful of groups. I actually had to dump out a bunch because my daughter used to use it when she was playing with her friends. I kicked her out, made her create her own. But you know, I can see what other people are playing. And then you can do a side chat if you want to just do it like you and I are doing right now. I was just like checking out the GTR channel right now, and I can see, you know, like Beaker's playing Rainbow Six Siege. Who else is there? See, guy named Jesus.
Someone's playing Don't Starve. Yeah, someone's playing Overwatch.
Overwatch, yeah. H1Z1. Yeah. You can see what everybody else is doing, and then you could just pop over to that channel, send them a quick message, say, hey, what's up? Hey, you know, it's actually, you know what, Sharif from... No, that was yesterday. He popped in and said hello. It was just, it's really, really cool. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to reach out and actually speak to our, you know, and reach, you know, have a better, how do I say it? Have a better relationship with our community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just exactly. Build it, because it's pointless to build it if you're not going to sit there and nurture it and, you know, water the plants, et cetera. You know, that sounds really cliche. But it's true. You know, there's no purpose for building these communities if it's just there, if you're just trying to build numbers. If, you know, it's so much better that we can sit there, we could talk to these people, you know, get to know them and, you know, just curate the community as opposed to just, you know, just trying to build numbers.
Agreed. I couldn't have said it better, man. I totally agree. What are we doing on time here? Because I don't think we want to go too long on this episode.
We're about 38 minutes, probably. Yeah,
we could probably start wrapping it up at this point. I don't think this episode needs to be too long. But again, I'll just remind everyone, like literally when we get off of this call, I'm going to go pick up my daughter from a basketball game and I'm going to come back and I'm going to start streaming Horizon Zero Dawn on Twitch. My Twitch channel is Vicious696. And then we also have our Gamertag Radio Twitch channel. And then Pete, you want to give yours as well?
Yeah. Same as my Twitter handle, Pete Rock, PETROCC. You can find me there. I might be playing some Overwatch. I don't know. I may end up playing something else, but yeah, I'll definitely be streaming tonight. So so just keep an eye out if you want. Just, you know, we'll keep pushing the Twitch channels. You can go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio and the feeds from Paris and I will automatically feed over to that as well. So thankfully we've been doing this long enough that our handles are all synonymous. We could pretty much, you know, just say Vicious696 or Pete Rocker Godfrey, and they're the same across whether it's Twitch or actually I think Danny's is the only one that's different because he's not commonly on PC or what have you. His is Godfrey7. But just go to the Gamertag Radio Twitch channel and you'll see all of us there. All of our stuff should populate over there automatically.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Yep, you're absolutely right. I just want to say again, I want to thank everyone, you know, again, that's been following us on Facebook Live, that's been starting to follow us on Twitch and on Twitter and all those great. Oh, one other thing on Twitch, which you actually helped out when I was testing it out earlier. I was playing Gwent and I wound up getting in a match that became kind of a strategy thing. And then you had pointed out, well, wait, why did you say that was a good move? Why is he doing this? So, you know, in a way, I started explaining the game of Gwent as I was playing. And then it kind of dawned on me again, this is the potential of what this stuff could be. Mm-hmm. You know, as we're playing these games and talking about it, people are coming in, the curiosity factor, we're able to live interact with people and explain stuff and all that. And they don't have to just send an email and wait for us to respond in like freaking 10 days or something. You know what I mean? So, So it's a good thing, man. Like I said, I'm excited. I'm excited for what we can do here in the next few months leading up to E3. And then obviously at E3, just the more opportunities that are come, like GDC is going on right now. PAX East is next week. And yeah, man, it's a good time to be a gamer. There's a lot of things going on right now.
Yep.
So anything else before we get out of here?
Yes, really quick, because I know you and I, we've talked about this in the past with the DirecTV Nows and Kodi versus Plex versus all these offerings. PlayStation Vue's got their thing. YouTube announces a new live TV service. Where did this come from?
I knew this was coming. They had been talking about this on and off for the past year that YouTube was going to unveil their own live TV service. Hulu has one that's about to come out as well, and Apple is rumored to have something come too. Trust me, if I hadn't hustled and got a great deal with DirecTV right now, would be perfect. The DVR thing, the $35 a month, they got the channels I want. It's been perfect. Looks great to me.
Yeah, and you can get YouTube across anything practically these days. Yep. Most of the
six streams, unlimited cloud DVR. I mean, you can't beat that for $35 a month.
Unlimited for 9 months. There's a 9 month time limit for how long they'll hold on to the recordings and then they'll wipe them. But
look, if you ain't watched it in 9 months, then you don't deserve it. That's how I look at it. That's good enough.
So, what is it? There's anyone with a PlayStation Vue subscription will recognize a lot of the same features because it's pretty much this. It's very, very similar. So you get, you know, the standard YouTube TV channels. Also promises YouTube Red original programming, which I kind of already get that because I'm part of the, I have YouTube Red, six accounts per subscription, allowing for three concurrent streams at a time. So yes, you can have six people tied into your subscription, but only three people can have a concurrent stream at any given time using these things. But you get some great, you get some great content. You get the big four networks. You get the ABC, CBS's, Fox, NBC, you get CW, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN3, ESPNU, Fox Sports 1 and 2, USA, FX, FXX, Sci-Fi. I mean, there's a lot of networks on this, and this is a great alternative. And if you want optional, you can get Showtime on there, but that's, you know, that's extra money. I don't know, $35 a month, that's right up there. And I think they already have the infrastructure for streaming. So it's not going to I would probably trust them the most with getting that content across with the least amount of stress. So, you know, as opposed to what, you know, DirecTV Now tried to do with their offering. I haven't really followed along. But if there's going to be a company that I put my trust in and would throw my wallet at for a streaming service, I think YouTube is, you know, right up there. They've, you know, they're pretty much the pioneers and the captains of this ship, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are. That's what I mean. If anyone's going to get it right, it's going to be Google. So, yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on this, because then when my contract is up at the end of 2017, if this thing really takes off and goes the way that I want it to, then I can finally convince the wife. Because the only reason I didn't go to DirecTV Now was because they didn't have the DVR, and my wife was like, "Nope."
Well, what channels are all
They're on Bravo.
They're on Bravo. Is Bravo?
And it's on there. Trust me. The first thing I look for, I go, Bravo in here.
Okay, Bravo right. And Oxygen.
Yep.
Boom.
Yep.
Sold.
We're good. Yep. So cool, man. Yeah. We'll have to definitely keep our eye on that going over the rest of the year and see what's going on. So anything else before we jump out of here?
No, I think we should end the show on a good note, since I kind of brought us on a Debbie Downer last Sunday. So, you know,
yeah,
positive
absolutely.
Ending. So good. Positive ending.
Yep. So Danny, before we get out of here, remind everybody where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And with that said, this has been episode 639 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. Danny actually did join Discord, so no more Skype for us. And we're out of here.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.